Welcome to another episode of the No Time to Be Offended podcast, hosted by Matt Christopher and Dan Adler. Settle in, listen, and learn what drives them to share their knowledge and experiences with the hope it gets you thinking about a different perspective on life. Over to you, Matt and Dan.
G'day, Matt.
How are you, Dan?
Pretty good. It's the 19th of February, 2025. Here we are again.
Where are we?
At my house.
What?
Doing another episode, episode 5.
I know. And people want more. They're like, Matt, when are you doing another one? Actually, I had somebody ring me up the other day, if I might say, and said, can I come? I'm not joking. Can I come on the podcast with you and Dan? And I want to talk about conspiracy theories. And then this person said, I'm not joking, I have a machine so I can change my voice.
Wow.
Wow, that's the kind of person we want.
It's exactly the type of guy we want. We've got a few keynote speakers coming up.
We do.
We've got a few people, so we'll keep you in suspense until we release and announce those people coming on board. But it's great that we've had people say, yes, I'd love to. But today, we're talking about, what's the subject for today's episode, Matt?
It's a world without children.
A world without children?
Yeah, I'm serious. That's what I want to talk about.
Okay. And where did this come from, this subject?
Okay. This is about, I suppose, full disclosure. My wife and I think I've said this before, but I'll say it again. We were married, or we've been married 26 years, but let's say first 16 years. We childless, following our careers, and then we decided that, you know, we wanted to have a child or children, and we couldn't do that naturally. So I went through IVF, and anybody that's gone through that process knows how difficult that is and how stressful that is, especially when there's things don't happen the way you'd like them to be. So I went through many cycles of IVF. Anyway, so we have our daughter. She's actually upstairs at the moment with your kids, so that's great. But anyway, so I've been really, from being childless as a couple and enjoying that life and then having a child, you're really, I can just say from, I'm sure you're exactly the same, is you look at children, it's like, wow, babies, children, wow, you know. And then I've noticed, because, you know, I always like to see what's going on in the world and trends, I was noticing recently that the birth rates around the world are falling. And it was like a subject that I thought, let's talk about. We're both parents, we're passionate about our families, and we've been absolutely upfront about how much we value families.
Amen.
Okay. And having children, if you can't, that's a different, but if you can and you choose to, so it's a choice, it's a blessing, an absolute blessing. Okay. So I was looking at the birth rates, Dan, and countries like Japan, South Korea, Singapore,
China
Hong Kong,
put a limit on it.
That was the one child policy. Then going into Europe, even my sort of home country my parents' home country of Greece, Italy, and so forth. You can go through the whole lot. We've got birth rates of 1.1 children per woman, I suppose, if you're going to put it that way. And I started thinking, I'm like, being in the education space, is we're trying to bring young people in because our tax base is going to be so badly affected when we've got this huge upside-down pyramid of retirees, not just the baby boomers. Yes, that's going to be the biggest transfer of wealth ever in human history, they're saying. That's number one. But we are not we're just not replacing ourselves. And I started thinking about this, is it reminded me of the movie WALL-E.
And every
poor WALL-E's doing his garbage, you know, collecting all the garbage on Earth. Well, here's all these, I think they're humans, aren't they? Sort of bloated.
Fatty boom booms.
Fatty boom booms. I think that's politically incorrect. Up there.
In their bone density.
They are. Yeah, with their little toes, just like sausages, aren't they?
Little, upsize me.
And I'm thinking, how is it? This is the discussion. How is it that we've got to a point in society in which we're basically going to essentially breed ourselves out, to put it that way? I mean, they're being honest, they're in the future, there virtually won't be any Japanese or Italians or Greeks or so forth, because we're not, once the general, it's not,
it's,
we're not
going to
be
there. Pot.
Yes. Okay. So why, what are the factors in that? How did we go from our grandparents, or even our parents? I mean, I think your mum and my mum's probably the same age, mm-hmm. where you look at the figures and we had, let's just say, four children or five children. Then you go back to our grandparents' age where there was up to 8 and 10 children. Mm. Yes, they didn't survive all to adulthood.
Post-war.
Absolutely. And then now we're like 1.1 in these developed world. So the only countries that are essentially having children is, for instance, I think it's Democratic Republic of Congo, war-torn country, and they've still got, I think, 6 children on average.
Wow. That's,
yeah,
a big family.
Oh, yeah. So
how are they providing food, shelter for 6 plus children? If it's 6 on average, there's,
yeah, it
big
is.
Families.
Yeah, it's big. Absolutely. Well, I don't know. But
they wouldn't be able to survive here in Australia with $7
no.
for a block of cheese.
No. And was it an $8 coffee now or something?
I went into the shops the other day to go and buy a roast chicken, coleslaw. We were having a little beach party for Mum's birthday. And I looked at, there was like, it's Cheer. I think that's the
yes,
new brand.
That's correct.
And it was 7 slices. Actually, sorry, 15 slices for $7. 15 slices of cheese for $7. I thought, wow, how could people afford to put food on the table with 6 kids if that's what it costs?
Yeah. But I'm glad you brought that up. So the hard reality is that we are, the Western countries, we're educated, we're apparently wealthy. I don't know how we are, but anyway, apparently we're wealthy, and yet we are feeling, to put it that way, whatever the, and we can talk about this, the pressures that we're all under. Everybody's under. I don't know anybody that's living the dream. Nobody is. We're all under stress all the time, just to maintain our mortgages, to send our kids to a good
city
school.
City council rates, electricity,
100%.
Gas, water.
So the byproduct of that is we're living in a society that we all, I think everybody agrees, we, like, you think, oh, I can't afford a child, I'd like one, but I can't, but I, you know, all of this, and I'm just like, we are breeding ourselves out.
But the younger generation, I've heard many, let's just call them millennials,
right,
that have openly said, I'm choosing not to have kids. I'm choosing not to bring a life into this world because of what I see, the destruction, the future. They're forecasting what life is going to be like, you know, inflation, cost of living,
right,
the stresses, AI taking over jobs, a meteorite that's going to hit.
Oh, right.
Whatever it is, it's just doomsday prepping. And they just do not want to have kids. And they've made that choice and going, you know what? I don't want to have that responsibility. I'm just going to live my life. I'm going to travel. And, you know, you do see some...
But isn't that really short-sighted? Like, because everybody says that, oh, I want to be windswept and interesting, and then we all get to our age and we're like, I want comfortable shoes.
It's 20/20 vision depending on where you sit.
Right.
On one side of the fence, they're saying, well, I'm going to save a lot of money. And, you know, you do see couples, whichever team they're playing on, and if they don't have kids, they are saving a lot of money.
Are you sure they are?
Well, they're spending a lot of money.
Yeah, they're spending a lot of money, I'll give you that.
They're spending a lot of money on things that either they're investing or they're doing things which other parents and families who are paying for netball, soccer, dancing classes. The list goes on and on and on. This time of the year in February, I'm sure every family has felt the pinch with the kids going back to school. But you wouldn't trade that off for the love that you have with your kids and that feeling of being a parent and being part of a family unit, you know, grandparents and having respect for that. We're very fortunate to have that kind of lineage from, you know, great-grandfather to grandfather to my father and the kids beneath us, and my brother Drew and Angie and Axel. You know, we're very, very proud of the Adler name and the family, and it all stems from the people, the forefathers and mothers before us. And they, you know, they had a big family. I think my granddad had 10 grandkids.
Wow.
So, you know, we've come from a big family, and that means a lot to us. But that's our family. It's not the same for every single family. Every family has their own ups and downs, and sometimes people move away from each other or they decide to do different things, go overseas, and you don't see them for a while. But, you know, I am hearing and seeing that the younger generation are looking at the cost of living, looking at housing, looking at how could I possibly have a baby and live in a house that's only a studio or a two-bedroom apartment that's so small. You know, you literally are watching TV, doing the dishes, whilst taking a piss in the toilet, all in the one space. It's very small.
Okay, so we see the pressure, we feel the pressure. Okay, the countries that are not... this is my point. The developing world are still having children, as we're talking about Africa and so forth. They're still having lots
big
of kids.
Population.
Okay, big population and so forth. Okay, is the capitalist system that we're living in, is it actually geared towards not having children?
Well, correct me if I'm wrong. Some of those third-party cultures is to look after your grandparents and that you have them in your own house.
Absolutely.
I mean, I know in Japan, I've studied Japanese for 5 years and did exchange student and travelled to Japan. It's a rule, it's a culture that you look after your parents at a certain point because they looked after you, and that's not questioned. But that being said, post-Japan's, World War and the Japanese suicide bombers, they got bombed in, and they took out all those amazing high caliber human beings out of the Japanese race.
Right.
The next layer of generations that were underneath them, their genes and their smarts and their cleverness and their academic excellence and their sporting prowess, all of that suffered because of the war. Because a lot of the very best got weaned out because they were either the best pilots or the best savages on the battlefield. And so the senseis and the suicide bombers and the people that were the ninjas, you know, they were the top of the top best
the
Japanese,
warriors.
The very best
samurais
genes.
Or whatever they were.
Right. Yeah, the samurais, that's right. And so when they all got wiped out, you were relying on the next layer underneath them to breed, but equally the shock wave to the system meant that they had to adjust. And I'm not Japanese, but I've learned a little bit about it. But you're right. I mean, their financial situation in Japan with their debt levels is just ridiculous. Thank goodness they've got America and these places to support them. But, the pressures of... We've got a friend, Michiko, who lives in Japan, and she's got her mother living with her, and she's looking after her in her older age, and, you know, and the father, and it's got this massive family, and it's a small little tiny box of an apartment. Now, you look at that, and you think, well, you know, why would I want to have 3-4 kids when you... Where am I going to live and work? You've got to travel a long way. I know here in Brisbane, if you want to have 4 or 5 kids... You're going to be Browns Plains or Springfield. You know, you've got to travel a long way unless you've got lots of money and you're living within a 15K radius of the CBD. But, I think there is an undercurrent of fear with having lots of kids because, oh my God, what's that going to cost us? I think I joke to people, and in my job being a brand creative agency, and you talk about giving birth to a new brand or a startup, And people say, what's it going to cost me? I use the analogy of, well, if you calculated every single cost for your one child from the start of life all the way through till the time you're no longer responsible for them, what would you actually put down as the total figure of how much money you've put towards that child? You know, and so you wouldn't do it because, I mean, the offset is that you've got this love in your life and this lovely warmth in your heart that you're looking and looking after and caring for this beautiful human being. But the same goes with the offset is that the people that haven't experienced that, they don't know what they don't know. You know, 2020 on the other side, they're saying, I don't have that stress. I don't need to worry about those things. I can have the freedoms and the like saving money and doing all those things that I want to do without feeling like as though I'm a bad person bringing this child into this world with all the chaos that we're seeing in the news. Mm. We shouldn't watch the news.
No, I don't.
It's terrible out there. It's like every single story is just crazy. But yet the third world countries, even though they're not wealthy, they are super rich in their family unit and the love and respect in the tribe is so strong. And you see that in Papua New Guinea. I went to Papua New Guinea last year and they do have chiefs. They've got chiefs within the tribe. And then you've got, you know, the leaders of the tribe. Then you've got the young men that sit underneath them that are being groomed to be the next leaders. Then you've got the rascals that are going, you know,
robbing everybody,
climbing trees and, you know, jumping around and having lots of fun. And then, of course, the respects for the mums and the women in the tribe. There's a structure. There's an organisational structure. And if people don't toe the line, obviously that you got to go and have a talk to the big chief.
Right.
And there aren't police. There's no law, really, from where I went.
So it's like tribal law.
It's tribal law.
Right.
And, you know, if people steal, they pick a fight, you better be ready to go all the way. You know, they've got machetes and they're not afraid to use them.
Right.
But what I took away from that was the basics of, you know, look after each other or be prepared to fight for what matters to you. But here we are here in Australia and the laws that protect people, you know, the owner of a house versus a youth crime that's breaking into your house to steal something. What can you do when that person's in your house? Are you allowed to put them in the basement and hit them with a bat? No, you're not allowed to do that. And you ring the police. I know James Birchall from Rumble was on Steve Austin's ABC 612 ABC radio yesterday morning. At 10 to 9, I listened to his interview where his three daughters were in his home at the time when he was up in Cairns laying his mother to rest because she had, you know, terminal health issues. And his daughters was calling him saying, there's someone in the house. In fact, there was, I think, five that came into their house. Well, the three daughters were in the home and there was a car waiting outside. Rang the cops. And the cops were very unhelpful in sending a cop car straight away. And that was terrifying for James and the kids. But it's happening all too regularly here. And, you know, for those three girls growing up, I know they've got a wonderful family, Letitia and James and the three girls, and it's a beautiful family unit, beautiful family. Hi, James, if you're listening. But we all really felt for him in that situation. But those situations, the post-traumatic stress that comes from that situation makes you think, you know, they've come from Brazil. You know, the amount of crime that's happening in Brazil versus Australia, you know, it's kind of comparable now. You're like, oh my God, I probably would be safer in Brazil than I am here in Paddington.
Wow.
There's so many broken enders. The amount of video footage is just scary. So that would be affecting the Gen Ys to think, well, if it's going to be like this now, what's it going to be like in 20 years' time when I'm ready to have kids?
But is, okay, so if we have, or like, let's just say we've all got on the property ladder, we've all done that, and we're shackled to the properties. Let's just be really honest. We're wage slaves in many ways. Even if you are doing really well, you're just buying a more expensive property. Okay, you're just buying a more expensive property and you just got a bigger debt. Okay, you can service it, but we're all, and then you send your children to better schools and drive more expensive cars, but we've still got the same, in a sense, the expense, just that we're spending more for more luxury items and
more things.
More things, exactly. If the system, I am definitely pro for capitalism in that sense, but if the system is the way that we're basically handcuffed to it, do you think that the solution to this is actually government and industry saying, well, if you want a career like a, I'm just going to go out there, university, should they be saying to people, actually, we want you, we encourage people to have their break here, to have children, because we now know, I mean, it's scientifically fact. I mean, if you leave having children, if you choose to, if a woman chooses to at a later stage, it's going to be very difficult. You've got to go through IVF or something like that. Do we need to, as a society, say we're going to invest, really invest, so that a woman, for instance, doesn't have to go, well, I've got a choice between having children or being a lawyer or so forth. Do we actually need to intervene and to say, right, as a society, we're actually going to say, no, we actually like our country the way it is. Otherwise, if we don't, Dan, the only way that we're going to service our community is open immigration. That's the only way. Let's just be honest.
I see it at my dad's nursing home.
Right.
It's 99% people from overseas. Right,
yep.
A lot of them struggle to speak English well. Mm. Which frustrates Dad to no end when he's trying to communicate, and he's got a very short fuse when he's trying to
get... He's in a lot of pain,
He's trying to get across what he wants to get across, and if they don't speak properly and he doesn't understand, it triggers him. But if it wasn't for the people from overseas coming in to service Dad's room and look after him, they're struggling to find Australians here, locals... To do that job. So the same goes for picking fruit or in the the abattoirs, and the list goes on and on and on. Mm. The tough jobs, we need to bring people in from overseas. But also there is a trend with adoption. Some people can't have babies, so that they now look to adopt, and that's a fantastic thing, because there's a lot of young people out there that either they've had bad things happen to them through war. Their communities or their villages have been blown up, or they've been separated, or there's been a tsunami and they've lost their parents in the tsunami. It's a natural disaster. And these kids deserve education and support. And if there are parents out there that want to be parents but they can't because of health reasons, it's fantastic to see that those avenues exist. So you can still have an increase in the family unit. I'm all for supporting a pathway for those orphans and people that have lost their parents for some reason to have that family unit.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, to me, I've always said on my social media posts, family is everything.
It is. I think, as you said, it's a fear narrative that's happening. So I think to myself, when people say, I wouldn't have kids because of this, okay, they don't have to have children, but if a person was saying, I've got a choice between paying my rent and having children, or putting petrol in my car, I mean, what was it the other day? What are we up to now? $2, what did I pay 15, the other day? $2.15, exactly.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So to fill up your car, to look after you, to have a basic food. I'm not talking about going to 5-star restaurants. And we're professional people here. It hurts, as in pain in the wallet. And we're like, whoa, how are people who aren't as fortunate as us? We're talking about people in Australia. Mm. They've got a choice between putting food on the table and having children. Or so naturally they'd be going, well, of course I've got to look after myself. There's no judgment there. But I'm saying, what do we do to make it different? Otherwise, guess what's going to happen? As I said, and classic example with your dad. My dad, you know, last year when he was the same in hospital, there was mainly foreign people. They did lovely, beautiful job. No complaint there. But so does that mean that older Australians, we're going to be all in retirement homes, and then the rest of the population are going to be brought in? Is that the future we're facing, Dan?
That's what it's looking like.
Right. Okay.
Even property developers, if you look at the apartment buildings that are being built, the one-bedroom apartments, you know, three-bedroom apartments are rare. What is interesting is we've got a client, the Village Retirement Group over at Manly. Kath's the sales manager there. Hey, Kath. Kath. Three-bedroom apartments.
Oh, that's good.
Because they, back to the point of loneliness, want to have room to have the kids stay over and feel connected to the family. So it's important for some generations, but equally I saw, you know, Hamish at Andy.
Yes, yeah, definitely.
So Andy's just put a post up just now. He's in LA and he's testing driverless cars. In LA, you can book like an Uber that comes and picks you up without a driver in there, and he takes you from A to B. You know, stops at the zebra crossings and makes sure that he doesn't run into people and indicates going left and right. There's no driver there. It's actually doing all that through the computer and scanning. You know, back to the point of breeding hopelessness.
Yeah.
You're breeding a generation that, why do I need to learn to drive a car? These driverless cars will become a leased vehicle that, you, if you are going to buy one, you use it to pick you up and take you somewhere, but then it goes out on the road and it's going to be used for other people, like an Uber facility. So it's making money whilst you're not using it, because there's not going to be a need for a garage.
No.
So you won't need to tinker with your car, service with your car. Sure, there's going to be the collectible cars that the people like yourself, you're a car man.
Yeah, I am.
What kind of car did you have?
I've still got a HQ GDS Monaro 1973.
Sick. But you'll change your spark plugs, change oil. You know how to do that stuff. Yeah. But the generation coming through are going, well, I don't even know. There's a rocket cover. I opened the bonnet. I'm like, what do I even touch? I can't even see where the battery is. In fact, a funny story, I was at a petrol station and these five girls that were looking under the bonnet, all five of them are looking under the bonnet. The bonnet's up at the petrol station. I'm filling up my petrol tank. And they're all like pointing and like, it could be there and it could be there. And I went and filled up and paid the money, came back out. I walked past them. I said, look, I'm sorry. I have to ask, are you guys okay? And they said, oh, we're looking for the battery. And I said, well, I know in my BMW, the battery's in the boot.
Oh, right. There you go.
Right.
Mine's in the front.
Most of the older cars, they're in the front. But these days, because they pack all the engine in, the computers and all that kind of stuff, there's no room in the front for a battery. So they've put it at the back and the wires go through the chassis and out through. Sure enough, I said, well, have a look in the boot. I popped the boot. She's like, oh, I don't even know where that... Lifted up the false bottom bit, and sure enough, there's the battery.
Wow. And where the wheel used to be.
Right. And so because these days they've got run flats and there's no spare tyre, or they've got the cheese cutter. Call it cheese cutters?
Yeah, they are. The tiny little
space saver things, yeah. There was this tiny little battery, and the battery had run out, and she'd bought a battery charger, and she was going to try and charge it. I said, you know those things take a long time to charge the battery? But either way, this is what the new generation are experiencing, all this change, you know, with the AI cars, these driverless cars, no need for a garage. People are changing their garages into an extra room in their house. So it becomes the new granny flat. So you don't need all those products that you buy at Super Cheap Auto. So the shareholders of Super Cheap are genuinely scared that they're going to be phased out. There might be a small group of people like yourself that want to go in and buy the Castrol oil and do their oil change. But I think, you know, we're all watching and witnessing this change in real time, going, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Wow. This is,
but is all
happening.
Is all of that, when you add those pieces together, is it, okay, I don't believe in conspiracies, I just coincidences, but everything seems to be, as we've spoken about before, we're meant to have modern conveniences that were meant to make our life better than the great-grandparents. We're more stressed out than ever before.
Yes.
We have less peace of mind than we've ever had before.
Less attention span.
Absolutely.
No patience.
None. People are so yeah. Okay. Wouldn't you think with all of these labor, you don't have to drive anymore. Like you said, no one's going to have a driver's license. I think license, it used to be, what, in New York, a true New Yorker never had a driver's license.
Is that right? Yeah, you always catch taxis.
Yeah. Okay, so we've got all these modern conveniences. Great. Yet we're even more stressed out. So is the whole system aimed at us actually not having children?
Or will it swing around? I mean, you were just talking before we came on air about these smart cities and how they're alienating people. Yeah. You go into an Aldi or a Woolworths or a Coles in England, in the UK, in London, and unless you've got the app downloaded on your phone, you can't even enter the store.
Is that part of that? Is it the 15-minute city? I've heard. I didn't know that. Yep. I knew the 15-minute city, but you can't go into that sort of zone, is it?
You can't even enter the store. The gates will not open to allow you to enter in because you're not part of their club. You've got to be subscribing to their app in order for them to be Bluetooth tracking you down the aisles of what you're stopping and looking at on which part of the aisle. And then the levies that they're charging for brands and whatnot, Aldi obviously doesn't have brands, but some of these stores do, of tracking the data. The data is king. You know, it's really quite interesting. They've got shopping trolleys that, you know, you literally are scanning things as you're putting them in your trolley and it's giving you the calculation of what your total basket cost is. It's fascinating, the technology in shopping centres that is the cutting edge of technology.
Right.
But I keep saying this, you know, apps, connectivity, we're the most connected species ever.
And disconnected emotionally.
Yet disconnected emotionally and lonely.
Oh, yeah.
And struggle, I see it all the time. People struggle to look each other in the eye and have a conversation like we're doing now. You know, tomorrow I'm waking up early and having a walk and a talk with my mate who I know is going through tough times, and we've all gone through tough times, but, you know, we need to get some exercise, get some fresh air, get some sunlight, start the day off with a fresh mindset, and that's going to be something that we both look forward to and get us out of bed in the morning. But that off the back of our previous podcast, we were talking about loneliness. It could go to the point where it's frustration and fear that becomes that pandemic that people do something about it, like I'm doing something about it tomorrow with my mate going for a walk and a talk, that makes you go, we should do this more often. And all of a sudden, people start doing it more often. I know that, you know, the one-bedroom apartments was a fad and they were trying to get cost per square meter, like the return on investment. The developers are thinking, well, we'll make things smaller.
That's greed. Good old-fashioned greed in that way.
Yeah, and they were trying to cut corners and they were equally saying, you know, if you look at a bathroom or in a laundry, you look at a laundry, those things are now packed as a double stacker washing machine dryer and they're put in almost where the kitchen is. So you've got your washing machine, dryer, dishwasher. It's now a laundry and a kitchen in one, because, you know, these days a lot of people are doing either dry cleaning or they're just throwing stuff away. It's such a disposable life people live. They wear it a few times and then they can't be seen wearing the same thing again. But all these factors, you know, are layering on top of each other to a point where people go, you know what, there's no way I could bring a child into this world.
Right.
You know, the responsibility of, what do you mean? I've got to be responsible for that person for the rest of their life? Hmm. What does that mean? So, Matt, we can't rely on governments. We can't rely on the older generation to tell the younger generation what to do. Is there something in the value of reputation, your own individual self, your reputation, your link to your parents and grandparents and the lineage of your family tree? Your last name is your barcode. Your last name is the thing that people will recognize and say, hey, you're a XYZ. Mm. And look back in these beautiful old wool sheds and buildings around town, the sandstone buildings, they've got names that were etched in stone. And they were families all around the world, from New York and America. Their name meant everything to that family. They are a third generation, this person, last name. Maybe instead of relying on governments or an advertising campaign or you know, the world today trying to force these younger Gen Ys and all the way through to the alpha and the beta generations, which we've discovered from 2025 forward, it's the beta generation that'll be growing up with AI as part of their life. It comes down to the reputation that they want to create, that other people know of them behind their backs. What do people say about them at a barbecue after they've left?
Yeah.
And, you know, I know some people that have changed their name through Depol.
Yes, I do too.
Because of how disastrous their family tree was.
Yeah, they come from abuse maybe, or been raped, or absolutely.
Father's been domestic violence, and absolutely. He's an absolute terror, and he committed suicide. Was it just an absolute nightmare? In fact, some people don't even know who their father is because their mother slept around, and she, during that period of time, didn't know who actually was the father.
Right.
You know, I know people today that are like this, and so their last name means nothing.
Yeah.
And so they go and change their name, they go and change their reputation, and they go and recreate and create a new version of themselves.
Right.
So if freedom comes from liberty.
Yes, it does.
And releasing yourself from the shackles of the past. I mean, you've done that with the JW movement.
Yes, I did.
And you're changing yourself and reinventing yourself. Mm. I mean, we do this with brands that have lost their relevance and differentiation, and in fact it's eroding market share, eroding potential, and people's knowledge of that old story becomes stale. So we have to reinvent this brand and change it from some Super A-Mart to A-Mart Furniture. That's a big shift from 48 years Super A-Mart yelling at people. We changed to A-Mart Furniture, new name. You know, we broke their sales records for Boxing Day sales by 30% in 1 week with the same product with a completely new looking brand.
Congratulations.
New name.
That's amazing.
So, you know, if that's what it takes, if your reputation is everything to you and you have the freedom to shape your life and design your life and get rid of old stuff, if that becomes something you value, then you want to pass that on.
Right. I really like that, Dan, because at the moment we've got what it's like legacy trauma, isn't it? I mean, it's the older generations wouldn't talk about what happened to them in many ways, wouldn't talk about it. That was the way it was. Now, or has been for some time, is we're ventilating all of everything that's ever gone wrong in our lives. We're talking about this is what happened to me, okay, which some of it is really helpful. But on the other side, for I know the subject was about not having children, but that's a side effect of our society. And I really like what you've got to say there, is that maybe if we've come from societal trauma to such an extent, one of the catalysts for change, I really like
is
the
ownership.
Idea.
Yeah. Like, there's a lot of blame. Yeah. A lot of blame. A lot of deflection. A lot of blame. A lot of defensive. Look at the people that have put this on me, which is the victim.
Yeah.
Right? Mentality. And the only way to shift that is to become an owner of the situation. Be responsible for yourself and change the frame that you look at life through. And if you say, okay, well, instead of living someone else's life, which is your parents' life.
Yeah.
And if that's what every generation seems to push away from, is like, I don't want to be like dad. I want to be like, do my own thing. And I want to break away and fly from the nest and go and create my own story, which is fantastic. My son's doing it now. Other episodes I've talked about this. We're all for it. But on the topic of procreating,
yep.
you know, one of the reasons I had two kids, and I'm so proud I had boys, and I'm so proud to that they can fly the flag, and it's great to see girls out there hanging on to their family name, and it's a hyphenated name, their last name, is because they are really proud of their family tree. My brother Drew, his wife is Angie Adler Coops. And, you know, her family is everything to her. She grew up in a big family and a very loving family. And, you know, if we're trying to break the circuit of people thinking, woe is me, life is terrible when it comes to what the future holds, we have to instill upon our children that are growing up that they are responsible for their own signature of life. And they can create their own life that they are proud of, regardless of what their parents do. And that should be an easy sell. That should be a very easy sell.
I like it.
And they can shape and create their own signature of life, their own last name, what it means to be that. You know, they don't have to go and change. I'm not telling everyone to go and change their last name. I'm saying what it means to be an Adler. You know, Nate and Gabe are changing what it means to be an Adler.
Mm.
You know, Christopher, you know, what's Charlie going to change what it means to be Christopher for her kids?
She already has. She already has. That's, yeah. And I think the, at the moment, none of us, I mean, just talking to us as the general population, nobody has consulted with us about this change. It's been thrust on us, right? Nobody said, by the way, you're not going to have cars anymore. You're going to be doing this. We're not going to be having, you know, urban sprawl
it's
this
not
way.
Stop.
No. So there has to be a point in which Silicon Valley doesn't decide our lives, or the big wealth funds, or BlackRock, or whoever it happens to be, the big end of town decides, well, you're just a commodity. Let's be honest, and we all feel it organically. We've lost our humanity. I really like the idea that there's a revolution of the individual to say, you know what, I'm changing my last name. This is a metaphor. Changing my last name to, you know, Christopher or Adler, whatever it is, X, Y, Z, doesn't matter, because at this moment, I serve myself.
Self-love.
And I really believe in that, because rather than us being victims
and fitting into a mold,
right, we are staunch individuals, and maybe at that point
we can get creative.
Yeah, I like it.
Good.
Absolutely.
Look what we just landed at.
Fantastic.
Well, on that bombshell, it's been lovely chatting with you, Matt. Thanks for coming over
always.
This afternoon. Anyone who listens to this podcast, we thank you for your time. I know it takes an effort to press play, and you might come back to it and listen to a little bit more. And soon to be released, that we're going to have speakers that will come in.
We've got at least three international guests that will be coming on. I'm really excited about bringing that to everybody's
And I've learned how to plug in my computer so that we can bring international people or anywhere from around the world to link in the audio through our Rode system here, and we can have them contributing to our podcast. So we really are letting the shackles go, and we'll have some interesting conversations very soon for you all. So thank you very much, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed listening to this episode of the No Time to Be Offended podcast. To follow us, like and subscribe. And you'll find more content on all popular social media platforms. Search No Time to Be Offended. Stay tuned for the next episode. Until then, we hope you get the best out of your life.